CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back, everyone. It's great to be back with you. We just had that wonderful conversation around the CLC feature, about technology, where it's going, very much for the top leader. And I really enjoyed that with Rogers and with Aubrey. But now we have Professor Theo Veldsmann on the line. We're going to have a bit of a master lesson about leadership brand. And, of course, Louis Groenewald still with me. Theo, welcome.
Good day and welcome. Thank you to the listeners as well.
It's good to be with you, Theo. Before we go into this thing called leadership brand, what occupies you these days? You're not full-time at UJ anymore. You're still a prof, but much more consulting. And what do you do?
Well, I'm very much still involved in leadership, both either with companies, and I've also, as you know, Adrian, I've started a weekly leadership blog, a little article on leadership, a topic that I seem appropriate. It's a kind of how I've pitched it is traveling through the leadership universe, trying to just make a difference in terms of leadership. I still teach and I still supervise students. So, no, what's the rest for the wicked, as the saying goes, eh?
Yeah, correct. Well, today let's make sense of this thing called leadership brand. Are we talking about, maybe give us a brief overview, but are we talking about the organization must have a leadership brand or the individual must have a leadership brand or both?
I think, Adrian, it's in the first instance, the leader has a leadership brand, and of course it wraps off on the organization because the organization then starts modeling that brand that the leader conveys. So it's very powerful, and you can imagine the analogy here is like the brand of a product, that a leader has similarly got a brand that marks him, it differentiates him, and it conveys a message of who and what I am as a leader, and the promise that, like a product has a promise, a brand promise, there's a promise contained in a leadership brand. This is what I can do, what I stand for, and how I do things.
Okay, so just like when I think Volvo, even though I'm sure they don't position it that way anymore necessarily, if I think Volvo, I think safety. If I think, I don't know, if I think Jag, I think class. If I think Mercedes, I think BMW, luxury, whatever. You know, what is that first brand image that comes in your mind? You're saying a leader should consciously decide what his or her brand should be that he should portray to the world.
Yeah, you know, those things that you've mentioned in marketing, advertising terms, they talk about the tagline. You know, Toyota, everything goes well. Audi is, you know, human progress through engineering. Leaders also have a tagline. You know, the one leader is known for being people-centric. The other one is known for blood on the streets. When they come in, they're just going to – it's a slash-and-burn exercise. Others, leaders is known as an ethical leader, a leader of integrity. So the message is out there, and it is how – the important thing about the leadership brand is not to let it just happen. You must proactively decide as a leader what your brand is, construct and craft your brand, and then live the brand in the market, so to speak, in your organizations, because in the end, the counter side of the brand then is your reputation as a leader.
Yeah, very interesting. So I think in a moment, let's look at a certain leadership stance, and there are basic leadership stances that you must first decide on before you can move on, maybe during this process of choosing or deciding what your brand is. But it's an interesting thing you mentioned there around your brand out there and consciously deciding what it should be. Okay, let's go on a bit of a journey here. Unpack it. Choose a leadership stance. What do you mean by that?
Well, your leadership stance, there are literally thousands, if not millions, of definitions of leadership out there. You have to choose your own operating definition. That's the starting point. It's like base camp when you try to tackle Mount Everest. And the three components, it's that mixture. of leadership. First, you can be a transactional leader that's all about just operational execution and excellence. The second is a transformational stance, which is about inspiring dreams and visions. And the third one is a transcendental stance. Unfortunately, that's the term that's come about. That's about leaving worthy, lasting legacies. So imagine a triangle with each of these on a point of the triangle: transcendental, transactional, transformational. And you have to decide on the mix. Do I want to be known mostly as a transactional leader, as a transformational or transcendental? What we nowadays see is a mixture of those, and also there's a natural preference. So there's a baseline. This is the essence of what I believe about leadership.
Okay, but is it not also true that I have to be able to do all three of those? Sometimes I must be transactional, sometimes I must be transcendental, sometimes I must be transformational. And in South Africa, we would now say, well, you have no choice. You better be a transformational leader.
It is true. You must match the context and the contextual demands, but usually all of us have a natural preference. And what's then important is that you understand your natural preference, around which you can vary, but then find people that complement you in the areas where you are weaker. I mean, very often you have a very transformational leader, so they build the dreams, they get the people excited, we're on the way to the promised land, but very poor at transactionally, so to speak, getting the people on the wagons with the right food in the right direction, and the wagons are roadworthy. And inversely, you can have the wagons, but nobody knows where you want to travel. So you've got very transactional, strong transactional person, but the transformational part is missing. So it's actually, and that's where the whole concept of the leadership group forming a leadership community to have these three types of leadership in the right permutations given the situation.
All right. So I guess I can be a transcendental leader. All about leaving that legacy and so on, while I transform the business and while I transact. So I'm not sure that I can be a transactional leader who I don't know, implements the other two necessarily. So I have to make my conscious choice. Which one am I, and do I want to be or become? All right. Okay, so you mentioned another really big word here as I try and establish or carve out my own leadership brand, and that is choosing the appropriate psychosocial contact as a foundation to a leadership stance. So explain that one.
Sorry, it's a bit of a technical jargon, so bear with me. Here and there, an academic has to introduce that. It's a psychosocial contract, and essentially between the leader and his or her followers, there's a set of mutual expectations, reciprocal expectations, and it's how you manage those expectations that actually gives you then the basis from which you can leverage people and mobilize them. I mean, the one type of psychosocial contract is a coercive one, is do as you are told or leave the organization, the FIFA type contract. The other one is bartering. You do this, I will reward you this way. So it's a trading, exchange of rewards for effort. The third one is a partnering one. We taking co-responsibility for the efforts, the performance, and the success of the organization. The last one that's become a very important one in this so-called VUCA world is identification. We identify with a greater good, a greater goal, a dream that we are striving for, and then we can pursue it. Leadership in the end is a relationship. The relationship is based on mutual expectations, which the technical term that we use for that is a psychosocial contract. I, as a leader, have to choose as part of my brand what kind of relationship, psychosocial contract, I want to set up with my followers. Is it the coercive, power-driven? Is it I want to identify them, so mobilize their hearts and their minds to follow me? Or will I entice them, seduce them through the rewards I offer?
All right. So, again, coercive, bartering, partnering, identification. We've had partnering come up a lot, Louis, in the kind of relationships leaders need to choose these days. I don't know that a CEO of a large mining company or a general manager of a big mine in the Free State has an option. He or she better be a partnering leader. Louis?
So the point, Arjen, that bears out what you're saying, this principle of partnering is a mindset. If you look at that, the opposite of partnering is to go it alone. It's arrogance. It's perhaps depression or fear and anxiety. Partnering in the from the essence point of view, and I did a study of that myself, is a beautiful concept. People are open to all things that are light and truth and is transcendent. And therefore, a person with a partnering mindset has tremendous advantage over somebody who must be forced into it or does it because it's the letter of the law and he has to have a relationship with somebody. So I really appreciate the partnering concept, Theo.
All right, so en route to deciding on my leadership brand, I must choose a specific leadership stance, transactional, transformational, and transcendental. Which one do I want to be known for? So people can go read up on that a little bit more, or they can read some of your weekly letters and articles. Then I have to choose an appropriate psychosocial contract, the relationship I want to have with my followers. Is it coercive, a bartering one of identification? All right, and then Theo, you mentioned a leadership brand promise. So just like a campaign needs to make a brand promise or be known for it, or an insurance company or an organization for that matter, the leader must also come up with some kind of brand promise.
Yeah, you've now established your leadership stance. In other words, your baseline, this is what I believe is leadership all about. You're very clear on the type of relationship you want to have with your followers. That's a psychosocial contract. And now you have to give content to your leadership brand in the sense of the promise. And yeah, I think the for me, the way in which you can visualize that, you have to give answers in your brand promise to five questions. Who am I as a leader? This person you're going to relate to. My identity as a leader. Secondly, what do I aspire to? My dream and my legacy. The third question is, what do I stand for? My core values. The fourth one is, where do I intend spending my energy? What is going to be my priorities, my focus? And the fifth one is, how will I get things done? The style through which I'm going to work with you as followers. So five questions, the answers to that forms the content, the substance of your leadership brand. It's like, you know, Coca-Cola, if you have this, you'll feel refreshed. Or the car, Mercedes, you'll have a smooth type of ride with a car, and so you can carry on. Toyota, reliability.
All right, so you're saying answering these five questions, just make the link for me again. How would that help me establish a brand promise?
Well, I would say, in the sense, I'm identity, I'm a leader of integrity. My promise that I give you is I will always act with integrity. My core values is I will always be transparent. Third one, my dream is I want us to make our company, if you think mining, the safest mine in the world. I want to ensure that there's always employability. We will be involved in the community. My focus is, in terms of what we're going to focus on, is growing the business, being cost effective, the lowest cost producer of what, or producing like Apple, the frontline products. And my style is I will work in participation with you. I will keep you informed.
Okay, Louis, that makes sense. So when I'm clear about these things, then I can make promises to my people. You know, I can't make them promises of integrity if I don't believe and I haven't made up my mind that I want to be a man of integrity.
Arjen, I think these questions are very viable manifestation of the brand promise. And as Theo says, it just is authentic. In other words, if you answer these five questions in terms of how you operate, then obviously you're going to strengthen your brand and you're going to be authentic as a leader, I would say. I think those are five very pertinent questions.
Okay,
I think, Louis, you're touching on a point we'll still get to. Of course, this is still a promise. Hey, you still have to live the promise. And later on, Adrian, you probably want to touch on the difference between what I promise and what people experience. Hey.
Yeah, that's very important. And let's remember to bring that in. So who am I as a person? What do I aspire to? What do I stand for? Where do I intend spending my energy? And how do I get things done? Five very important questions in coming up with my brand promise and to match that. Okie dokie, let's go to the next step. You say, you mentioned some qualities of a powerful, appealing leadership brand. Take us through those.
I think for a brand to really have an impact, there are a couple of key qualities to have this powerful, appealing leadership brand. It must be comprehensive. In other words, you must have a clear position on those five questions, but be simple. You think about all the powerful brands, they are simple in their powerfulness, if I can put it. They must be coherent. The one answer to the one question must be in support of the other. The third one is, of course, the brand must differentiate you as a leader, so it must be unique. You must be associated for example, integrity or getting things done. The fourth one is the brand must have has a reach, and the brand must be set up in such a way, in language, in the way the channels you use, that it reaches all the stakeholders that are relevant to you and that you want to turn into followers. And the fifth one is the brand, and you've made that point earlier on, Adrian, must fit the context. It must be relevant to the context. And that will also affect like the mix of your, in terms of the different components of the leadership stance. It must speak to the context. It must resonate with the context.
In today's world, you ask yourself, how can a business or an organization still have a unique brand or a unique brand promise? And I ask myself the same with leaders. There are millions of leaders. Can I really have a unique brand?
I think it's very true what you say is, how do I differentiate myself? And that's where you have a lot of spin doctrine, hey, where people create a brand that where if you scratch on the surface and you break through that, there's no substance to it. I think it's in the uniqueness of how you put things together. It's like the competitive edge of a company, hey, an organization. What gives you a competitive edge? I think it's how you get the synergy of these things together, the five questions and these qualities of a powerful, appealing leadership brand. So the differentiation in a sense sits in the spaces between the five questions and how you combine it into a unique combination.
I think what comes to mind for me is two things. One is, I'm not competing with hundreds of millions of leaders out there. I'm not competing, but my world, my space is just the business in which I function or the organization in which I function. So I probably can have a unique brand there, but not if you're going to plant me in the middle of South Africa and I compete with all other leaders. So that's the one thing. The other thing is, I do believe in the principle of every human being is different, unique, and complex. So I have to find my uniqueness. I mean, that is what's amazing. You can have twins, and they actually look different, and they are different, unique, and complex. Every human being is the duck principle, different, unique, and complex. And I think one needs to tap into that as a person. Louis, your thoughts on that, the uniqueness of one's brand?
I think the uniqueness attribute must be seen in the light of the other attributes that Theo's mentioned. Now, quite frankly, one of the ways to be unique is not just to be gimmicky, things like that, because that comes across as artificial, but to be passionate with the other elements that Theo has been mentioning. So therefore, I think a leader who really follows the attributes mentioned up to this point by Theo, and he does it with passion and with simplicity, will definitely come across as unique, to stand out, in other words, as well. So once be careful of using gimmicks or purely promotional tools to develop that uniqueness. I'm just saying, because the value of being authentic nowadays is really something that's worth more than any other attribute.
Can I come in there, Louis and Adrian? Also, I think what you're alluding to there, Louis, if I can just put it in another term, is the authenticity with which you come across in being different. I mean, that was the apparently the downfall of Tony Blair towards the end of his premiership of Britain, that because he got so much into spin doctrine that people did not believe in any longer. He did not come across as authentic and sincere.
Thank you, Stu. He becomes smooth, and then people just don't appreciate. That's why an authentic leader often makes those mistakes. He quickly admits them. He's vulnerable, in other words. And if you're too smooth, you really get worried. Is this person really communicating their real deep-rooted feelings? That's a good point, Stu.
Yeah, I think that you're actually running ahead of Adrian. What you probably want to touch on later on is what are brand building enablers? And one of those is the whole question of coming across authentically.
Well, let's go into that. Our time is running out. You do mention the brand journey, but then take us from there to the brand building enablers.
Yeah. Can I just quickly mention, because I think it's important we touched on this, Adrian, is there's an ideal brand that I project, an espoused brand. But then there's an experienced brand by the followers, stakeholders, and then there is the true brand, the real brand. And it's the gap between what's espoused, what's talked about, and can I call it what people on the receiving end experience. But brand building enablers, the first one is transparency. Being transparent, the more you are as a transparent.
Sorry, Theo. Sorry, just before you go to the enablers, I'm interested then, how do I as a leader in an authentic way find out what that gap is that you just mentioned? I mean, I can do surveys, which I often don't find very authentic. How do I really, do I have to have honest conversations with people, and can I really, because people treat me differently because I have a title? So that's just an important one that we need to consider. How do I authentically find out what the gap is between what I want my brand to be and what people experience?
I think a survey could be one, but then you have to protect people. Otherwise, they fear victimization. I think it's also to set up relationships with those people that you know will be 100% honest with you and give you 100% true feedback. And it's fierce conversations about it. Of course, the other indirect way you can pick it up is, how are people responding to you? Do you feel that they are responding in ways that are not resonating with your brand? Then there is a gap. So that you have to get that feedback, you'll have to decide in what way. If you look at now what's happened to Helen Ziller, I mean, you build up your brand over such a period of time, and then you, in a couple of seconds, through a couple of tweets, like Trump as well, you can destroy it in terms of the feedback that you're receiving. And I mean, social media nowadays is so cruel to you. You get that kind of instantaneous feedback that you have not, lived up to the brand that people you espouse, and people are experiencing you differently.
So I think the traps are vast for leaders who are very visible and public, especially in today's interconnected world where you are just very visible as a leader more than ever before. Therefore, my first statement is, if I can come up with my personal brand and I'm very clear about it, based on everything we've discussed up to this point, I know exactly what my brand promises, I know who I am, all those things, I can tick the box, I've worked it out authentically, I guess you are... you are therefore putting yourself in a position where you will not as easily step into those traps that destroy your brand. But it will still be difficult. You have to think very carefully as a leader. Helen Zeller is a good example. Strong brand, did marvels for the DA, and now, as you say, one small thing can destroy her brand. So that's a good case study we should discuss maybe sometime. We've got a minute or two. You say brand building enablers, but then we must quickly get to the outcomes of a leadership brand so that people know there are some good outcomes.
Can I just mention, just in half a second, the brand building enablers, because they're important. You want to enhance your brand. Firstly, transparency, being transparent, accessibility as a leader, authenticity, Louis, which you've mentioned, integrity, truthfulness, and humility. And I tell you, the business journalist will tell you, they detect so quickly when a leader is not complying with these things, and they then go after them. It's like in the case of Bidwest, when they bought Adcock Ingram, Brian Joffe was quite open. He said to the business journalist, "We paid too much for Adcock Ingram," and suddenly there was no story. But if we kind of spin the doctoring it to say, no, you know, the price, this thing and the other thing, they go after your throat, so to speak. The outcomes of a leadership brand, very importantly, it gives you credibility as a leader. It gives you legitimacy. People can identify with you. It also gives you power over people. Because your brand is powerful, you now have leverage. You have greater influence with them. Loyalty. Of course, you become an example that people can follow, and you build up the social capital, the goodwill. And of course, then you can realize benefits in the sense that you are living the brand promise.
Because it sounds really worthwhile to make sure you have a good brand and that you've consciously decided what it is. Man, I want to say more about the Helen Ziller thing as well and this whole brand thing, but we'll have to leave that for another conversation. Louis, final comments before we close?
I believe the result of these things, Theo, is also a much higher level of personal enjoyment of your work and passion for what you're doing, because you can look at yourself in the mirror. So I think it's not just doing a job. It's a genuine satisfaction in doing it in an authentic way and feeling that you are contributing.
Very much so with your followers, eh? With your followers.
Yes.
Professor Theo Veldsmann on leadership brand, very important topic. We should spend more time on it. And as you say at the end here, a repeatable leadership brand is a critical success factor for leadership excellence. So thank you for joining us today, Theo and Louis Groenewald. And we look forward to extending this conversation further. Stay tuned, everyone, for our Business Masterclass with Richard Angus and the team. All the best. Bye-bye. CliffCentral.com.